Welcome to Beyond the Habit.
Moving beyond everyday assumptions of what it means to be Catholic and live the gospel with two Catholic sisters.
Who are trying to find common ground, create unity, and talk about real life issues.
Led by two sisters of St. Joseph.
That's us. I'm Sister Erin McDonald.
And I'm Sister Colleen Gibson. Welcome, everybody. We're so happy to have you today. Today is a special episode. You know, from time to time, we do mini episodes and we welcome in kind of a regular slate of guests. So today we are thrilled. We are going to be welcoming Sister Sarah Simmons, whose name you know if you listen to these podcasts all the way to the end. She's always mentioned. Our podcast coordinator, Sister Sarah Simmons, is joining Erin and I. And we thought today, you know, we've had a couple of conversations where stories have come up and where books, and we always come to the end of our episodes and hit the lightning round and ask a question, you know, what are you reading? Or what, you know, what podcast would you recommend? What media would you recommend our listeners consume? And then we realized, right, Erin, we just realized that we never actually get to answer that question. And so we have bedside tables that are full of books and YouTube cues that are full of videos and things that, oh, people might be interested in hearing about.
Maybe even some books stacked on the floor. Got to get to these.
You hit them every morning when you get out of bed. Oh yeah, those are there. I got to get to these.
Yeah, I just keep them out of the way so that the sisters I live with don't trip on it. So I'm excited too to be here today. And I personally always love learning about what other people are reading, what other people are listening to. I always find that super fascinating. I was sharing with both of you that I love, you know, we have a subscription to America Magazine, and they always do kind of this like literary edition where it's kind of a special excerpt that's really just dedicated to book reviews. And I always love that. And so I'm excited for us to just chat some more about what are we listening to? What are we reading? And I'm super excited that Sister Sarah's joined us today. So Sarah, welcome. And are you excited to talk about books today?
Yeah, I am definitely a huge reader. Reading has always been like my best friend, my constant companion ever since I was a little kid. So, but I gotta tell you, one, it's weird to be on the other side of this screen where I'm just listening in when I just got to say that. But it's also really great to be in conversation with you, because so often when I'm listening, it's like, oh, I want to ask this question, or, oh, I've got something to say. So it's kind of nice to be able to actually say something, which is really great. But I got to say, my bookshelf is pretty boring right now because I'm in school. I was just saying, I'm reading Thomas Aquinas. That's what I read all day yesterday. So I'm sort of going back to the classics. You know, when I'm like really busy with a lot of reading, I always go back to, like, I call them my constant friends, like finding books that I've read ever since I was in high school and just rereading them and rereading them. So yeah, I'm gonna tell you about all the books that I love to read and read and read over again.
Sarah, like, what is one of your best friend books? Like, what's a book that you go back to all the time?
So there are two series that I go back to constantly. So one is Harry Potter. I started reading Harry Potter when I was in, what, eighth grade, I think? You know, just a little kid. My first introduction to, like, the fantasy world. And so I read when I'm really stressed out or when I've got a lot of work to do, I sort of go back and revisit my friend. Now, I read them last year, you know, I finished them up about 6 months ago. And I realized, oh, these books are a lot different than when I was in eighth grade. But it's like visiting someone that companioned me over my life. So I read Harry Potter and Jane Austen. I always go back to Jane Austen when I'm stressed out too. She's a beautiful writer. And I just love the person of Jane Austen. She was such an amazing woman. I just love revisiting her. So those are my two go-tos when I'm filled up with other things.
And I love that, you know, like, I think at different seasons in our lives when we reread the same books, like, we're a different person reading the book and different things like jump out at us. Like Harry Potter, it's like, oh, when you were in eighth grade, these stories spoke to you in one way. Now in your current day, it's like, oh, you're a different, you're the same person, but a different person. I'm like, oh, how do we revisit stories?
Exactly. Yeah, it's sort of a spiral. You know, I mean, you sort of, you're a different person, you have a different relationship. The last time I read them, I'm like, huh, you know, you go through the whole process of like giving away a bunch of your stuff when you become a sister. And that was like Jane Austen and Harry Potter were the two series that I held on to. And I was like, I'm wondering if I'm done with Harry Potter, if I need to just set those down, but I haven't let them go yet. So we'll see if they make the cut. Yeah. How about you two? What kind of books are you interested in?
I don't tend to reread books. I know a bunch of people who do that. I certainly have books that I have emotional attachments to. And I too, in my experiences of entering religious life and then in the formation or kind of nun school process of religious life, we move a lot. So it does invite one to really pray with holy detachment and letting go, especially around books. That's one thing that I definitely probably have too much of. And so there are books that I do have emotional attachments to, and I'm aware of that. And there are some that are the classics. I think probably a lot of us have relationships with some of those books that were significant, you know, when we were younger and or at different points in our lives. I'm a little more of a Bronte sisters kind of girly, a Wuthering Heights and sort of Jane Eyre. Little Women was always a great classic growing up, especially some of those older versions of the movies at the holidays that brings back memories with my family. And, you know, my mother loved that. So we always watched the movies and had the books around and stuff. So it is actually fascinating as we're talking here about, you know, kind of these just like emotional attachments and sort of how books and or maybe movies or other kind of cultural reference points, how they kind of develop, you know, memories and relationships to other people, like these things kind of bring back those experiences for us. And, you know, as we're talking, Sarah, too, I'm thinking of kind of a fun story for folks like in religious life, we sort of have this little nun male thing, you know, in the sense of like mail carrier, you know. So Sarah and I live in Detroit and Sarah's in Chicago, but we both love reading some similar books or inviting each other to read different books. So I'll read something really good and I'll stack it up and say, this is the stack of books that I'm sending to Sarah. And so there'll be some sister from Detroit who's trekking to Chicago for some kind of nun meeting, and I'll give her a bag of books and say, give this to Sarah. Yeah. Books will travel to Chicago and Sarah will read them and send that back and add a couple more in. And so Sarah and I have sort of had, instead of like pen pals, kind of like book pals.
Exactly.
Kind of shuffling books.
We've had the nun train that has been helping us to do better reading.
Yeah. And to be good stewards of those books. So Colleen, do you have folks that you share books with, or like, you know, someone with whom you have kind of a similar relationship around, you know, or movies or podcasts?
Yeah. I mean, well, I think like in the realm of books, our sisters are always good. They'll always, like, I'll say, like, what are you reading? And, you know, nuns have different categories of like, some are really interested in murder mystery, some are interested in realism, some are interested in nonfiction. So like, I know who to go to for what. Like, I have my poetry sister. Like, if I'm interested, like, I want to learn a new poet, I go to Margie and she's going to give me poets. If I need, like, I'm a sucker for like at the end of the night, like I'll get in bed and like right before I go to sleep, it's like, I just need a chapter of something to like read and reflect on, and not necessarily spiritual reading. Like that's a whole other, I think that's a whole other category of book that we could talk about, but like a Jodi Picoult or like Janet Ivanovich, like these series where they may build on one another, they may not. I actually have sisters in the congregation who I share like Jodi Picoults with, because like they're cheap books, but they're easy to transport and send, but also like, you know, people I've studied with, like young women who, when they find out, they're like, oh, have you read, I just finished Mad Honey by Jodi Picoult.
Oh, yeah.
Which is a great, and if you don't know Jodi Picoult, there's always a twist in the story. It's always kind of like, you know, about 200 pages in, the whole story is going to get turned on its head. Like, it's fun to kind of hang out and be like, oh, what's the social issue that she's going to engage? So like, Mad Honey deals with kind of identity and a whole sorts of legal things, but also like, who are we as people and how do we understand ourselves and who do we fall in love with and what does that look like? But the sister who gave it to me said, you need to read this book. I can't tell you anything about it. That's the thing, books with a twist. Like, I can't tell you anything about it, but you're going to like it. When I was like struggling at the beginning, I think that's when somebody recommends a book to you. Like, when I was struggling in the first 100 pages, I was like, you know, she said I was going to like this. So I got to stick with it. But I think for me, it's asking people, what are you reading, and having them pass on. And like, I live with voracious readers. You know, one sister, she disappears at about 8 o'clock at night and goes into a room and she reads for the evening. Whereas like, I'm still sitting on the couch. Like, I think I'm going to watch another YouTube video and then I'm going to chit chat with the other sisters who are still up. And then I'll go up and read my like one chapter of fiction before I hit the hay. But I think like using it as a way to relax, but it teaches you so much about people based on like what they'll recommend. I have another sister who she'll ask me, she'll say, you know, I love like realistic, you know, fiction. It's really boring, actually, the kind of the stuff that I like to read. But she says, I don't want violence. I don't want somebody to get killed. I don't want sexual content, any of that. What can you recommend? I'll be like, well, there's this fascinating read about FDR and the New Deal. I think you would love this, or like The Boys in the Boat that just came out.
Yeah.
It's nonfiction, but it's a great story. I think you should, you know, read that.
What's your like typical go-to genre?
Oh, nonfiction. Yeah.
Nonfiction. Yeah. Okay. Mm-hmm. Interesting.
Yeah.
Sarah, what about you? What's your like typical go-to like genre or genres?
Oh God, do you know how hard that question is? I cannot be pinned down, my friend. I cannot be pinned down.
You can name multiples.
I don't know. I mean, I think it depends on what mood I'm in. And I usually have like 3 books going at a time. Mm-hmm. Again, I love to read. So, you know, I usually have something that's like more academic. I have something that's spiritual that I'm usually reading. And then I have a fun book that I read at night. And I cannot stop at one chapter. I am just like wowed by your ability to read one chapter, Colleen, honestly.
I'm just too tired, Sarah. That's actually, it's not admirable.
Oh, I see. I see. Yeah. So I think like what I usually go to is sci-fi fantasy. I get super excited. Like Dune 2 just came out. Mm. That was the first, like, that's what I'm going to do for my spring break. That's what I'm going to do to give myself a little break. I love like The Martian, Interstellar. I've read the books. I've watched the movies. Loved Lord of the Rings, especially when I was in high school and college. So I think like if I had to choose one, that's usually my go-to. What I love is especially the beginning when you are beginning to like sort of see the rules of the world, you know, like how people interact, what the rules are. And it's just like the vast imagination that people have to build entire worlds that are different from our own. So I think that just like the vast imagination is sort of like inspiring, and you get to enter into something you never could experience. You know, I think it's my sort of go-to. How about you, Erin?
Yeah. If I had to narrow it down, I also, similar to you all, have, you know, dabble in a number of genres, but my go-tos would be sort of historical fiction. Mm-hmm. That's often what I go to for, like you're talking about, kind of, Colleen, like, you know, my evening reading. It needs to be something that just helps me like de-stress, get ready for bed, you know? So I'm a historical fiction girly for sure. But then I also like biographies. I dabble in quite an array of them, from like Brandy Carlisle to Catherine de' Medici, you know, the Renaissance queen from 1500s France, you know? So it's wildly eclectic in that genre. But the other thing that I'm kind of into too, which is I find really fascinating, is kind of this popularity right now of like retelling mythology, especially some of the authors like Madeline Miller and Natalie Haynes that are doing these like retellings of classic kind of Greek mythology, some as well with Norse mythology, but retelling the stories through the lens of the female characters of those stories. Mm-hmm. I've been really getting into reading a bunch of those as well, which I find just really fascinating reads and expands kind of what we're talking about too, the similar sense of just imagination, but also relationship too. You know, it's really fascinating to me. And I'm not sure what genre, I mean, I guess this is fiction, but like last year I read Yellowface. I don't know if either of you have.
Oh, it's on my list.
Yeah, so powerful. You know, some of these that are really humbling in, now Yellowface in particular is fiction, but it's really about, you know, the complexity of human relationship, but really about racism and microaggressions, and kind of told through the story of this kind of white woman who essentially plagiarizes, steals a story, a manuscript from her Asian American friend, and sort of all the fallout of that. But really powerful books that are like fiction, but yet very relevant in terms of like breaking open kind of some social dynamics right now in our current reality. So that one's an excellent read if you haven't read it. Mm-hmm. So what are you currently reading, Colleen? What are you chipping away at with chapter by chapter at night?
So right now, I think, you know, I have a couple of books on my side table. And I think, wait, just to go back for a moment, I always feel like, oh, I'm the dork who loves like nonfiction. I'm like, oh, I'm reading, you know, historical accounts of things. But I'm on this kick right now of reading memoir. I think, you know, the storytelling, how people tell their own story is fascinating to me because it bridges that gap of kind of nonfiction and fiction. You know, they're real accounts, but it's how do we remember them? And so right now on my bedside table, you know, Steve Martin, the comedian, his memoir, Born Standing Up, is there. Between Two Kingdoms, which is by Suleika Jaoud, which is a beautiful, it's really her recounting. It's, in some ways, it's a cancer memoir. She's talking about her own journey, but also kind of falling in love and how to bridge the gap between these two kingdoms. And if you know the pianist and composer Jean Baptiste, it's his wife is Suleika. It's just a beautiful book and like beautiful writing that's almost poetic and kind of tells these stories. And so like, I love those. And then there's, you know, there's spiritual books. There's, you know, my little fiction. I have not opened up my next Jodi book to see where it goes. But I think that gift of like, before I fall asleep, like being invited into someone else's life, there's mm-hmm. a gift for me mm-hmm. in that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I also appreciate reading memoirs. I don't know, Sarah, have you read many memoirs lately? I know you're in the throes of grad school theology studies, so this isn't the moment, but
I haven't assigned any, you know, like Seven Story Mountain.
Loneliness,
any of that? No.
Honestly, like there's so much reading, it's like, oh my gosh, my brain is like, I don't even know what I'm reading. And I think there's part of me that's like, oh my gosh, I'm missing out on so many good things. Like my brain is just too full to read right now. But I have read memoir. I mean, again, I'll read pretty much anything. I think what's most important is I love to read good writing. Mm. You know, if someone has a really beautiful way of writing, I am immediately captivated and like, I'm all in. One that I recently read, which was like, last year during the summer, was Brandi Carlile's Broken Horses, which I just deeply loved, deeply love her. But I think what I do mostly now is, since I'm reading so much, I tend to do more podcasting or movies or TV shows. So one podcast is like sort of my go-to if I don't know what I want to listen to. I'll always go to The Moth, which is people telling their own stories. And it's like these short, you know, short 10-minute vignettes of someone telling their own story in their own way. And I think it's so powerful. It's such a connector. It allows us to see into someone's experience, which I think is really transformative if we can like get a glimpse into someone's story. You know, it's such a connector. So I definitely love memoirs, but I'm listening to them or watching them as opposed to reading them.
And to that point, what I've been doing in the last year or two in regards with memoirs, so, you know, I have the Hoopla app, which for us in Detroit is like the free public library app. Mm. And I've gotten into audiobooks, but specifically memoirs. Like there's even something a little more powerful about hearing someone tell their story kind of in their own words, like they're reading it to you. And somehow I have found that that kind of captures me even a little bit more than reading the book. And I'm kind of old school in the sense of I just love a good paper book that I can hold and read. You know, I don't have a Kindle or some of those other things. I like, you know, having the real books, but I do really like being able to listen to audiobooks that are memoirs. And I just finished listening to Unbound by Tarana Burke, and an incredibly powerful story from this woman who has gone through just some enormous, you know, traumas, but yet has been able to cultivate some incredible good community work and empowerment, especially around women. And really, she was the foundation of the Me Too movement that started a couple of years ago. I didn't know that, you know, so incredibly insightful to kind of hear how her work in community organizing and especially working with sexual assault survivors and her area really being with Black women, like it was just really eye-opening to know her story, but also how her work influenced this really global movement. But to hear it in her own words, her speaking, really touched me.
Mm-hmm.
And I was similarly touched by, this is probably an unexpected plot twist here, but Paris Hilton's memoir. But I can see your faces all going, what? But, you know, I was hesitant, but someone recommended it. And I thought, okay, I'm going to give it a try. I also did it in audiobook and actually was really touched by her storytelling and the complexity of her life and her story and how this juxtaposition of like how someone in her position, really her story is told by the media and not really by her. And I thought that was really powerful in her ways of like reclaiming, again, some of these intersectional issues around women. And so for her to be able to claim in her own words, like, hey, mostly my story has been controlled and told through the news media, but there's so much more to me and to my story and the many ways that her story was told through the lens largely of men in power, and how her image really became cultivated by their perceptions of her. Anyway, but I just, you know, I think the memoirs have a lot of power for an individual to name their story and their truth and their reality, but to also challenge some of these systems of patriarchy and racism that we don't even realize until we hear the voices of some of these prophetic folks. So, you know, going over to you, Colleen, in terms of like nonfiction, really powerful genre of reading.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, because I think it does exactly what you said, Erin. You know, like it invites us into a story. And I think that power of even to hear it in someone's own voice, whether it's their written voice or their actual spoken voice, to say that that carries so much with it. That, you know, memoir is that invitation. It's the storytelling. It's, of course, if you're listening to this podcast, you enjoy good audio content. But I think picking up, Sarah, on what you said about like the moth.
Mm-hmm.
And different podcasts, like those are essentially like short stories that have been crafted. And I think, you know, getting a glimpse inside of that is always helpful. Like it helps me to think about like the ministry that I do every day of like receiving people's stories and sitting with people in the parish. Like, how do you receive a story? How do you hold it? How do you then process that, pray with it, and bring it out into something else to let it bear fruit? I think all the stories that we hear, like when we read stories, that's what they do. I had a spiritual director say to me one time I went on retreat and I brought a novel with me. And the first day it was like, okay, I'm going to read and pray at the same time. And the second day I came into the session with the spiritual director and she was like, what are you reading? And I was like, oh, I'm reading this great book about, you know, murder and intrigue. And she's like, stop it. And I was like, what? And she said, no, because it's seeping its way into, you know, the stories that we take in influence us in all sorts of ways. We might not even realize it. And so that can be a good thing or a bad thing. But like on a 7-day retreat, it's like, oh, it's you and God. She was like, get this other person or some other characters. I don't know where you're picking up on these things. I wasn't talking about like murder and intrigue, but she could tell. She was like, oh, you're consuming something. And I think that speaks to oftentimes, like in our formation, we'll talk about like the power of what you consume and like you are what you eat, like the sense of like what you take in is also reflected in what you put out. Sometimes you need something to unwind with at the end of the day, because you're like, oh, I've held so much today. They're like, oh, I just need to escape into mythology or into fantasy. Say like, oh, there's also truth underneath those stories. Like the stories that we tell have huge themes. And so it's like, oh, is there a theme of redemption under there? What is wisdom and truth and discernment? What does that look like? So then like, how does that come through? I find it fascinating. The stories that we tell, what do they tell us about ourselves?
Yeah, that's really powerful, Colleen. Because like, as you were saying, as you're talking about this experience on retreat, I remember my retreat director told me one day, she's like, go watch A Wrinkle in Time. That's what you should do. Go and watch this movie. Watch it twice if you need to, but that's your prayer time. Mm. And I'm like, what? You're letting me watch a movie? And honestly, that was one of the most powerful prayer experiences I ever had in my entire life. So story can be so powerful. And I think there's always an invitation for me of like, why am I watching this? Mm. Why am I reading this? Why am I consuming this? Like, is this about rest? Is this about me avoiding my feelings? Is this about just sort of checking out? You know, because there's so many reasons, because I can definitely go into like a reading trap, because that's like I'm escaping something that's hard in my life, or I just like don't feel like dealing with my stress. And then there's other times when stories like A Wrinkle in Time or speaking of memoirs, one of the most powerful books I've like ever read was Christina Cleveland's God is a Black Woman, which is just like everyone should go and buy that book and read that book, you know, but those can like transform me in a really powerful way and bring me closer to God as well. So it's like, I think it's always interesting, like, why am I consuming this? Especially when I can go down a Netflix trap of just mm-hmm. binge watching things to avoid the stress I'm experiencing.
Yeah, I think those are really powerful points. And I'm wondering, here's a controversial question. Are you, either of you, the folks who like, if you start a book, do you have to finish a book? Or are you someone who can start a book and put it down? Because I know this is so people cannot see the visual platform right now, but I do need to illustrate verbally because you can't see that I didn't even finish that question. And there was a visceral reaction from both Sister Sarah and Sister Colleen, who just eye rolls, leaning back in their chairs. Like this is a big question because there's different schools of thought on this. And I will just add first the anecdote that for a long time in my life, I was the person who was like, if I started a book, I had to finish it. But I learned from some great friends, two great friends of mine, you know, who live in Wheeling when I was living in West Virginia, and they were avid readers. But they were the folks who helped me first see the power in being able to see that, like, you know what? Letting go is sometimes a good thing. That sometimes, because I think this goes to almost like a deeper psychoanalysis here, but to your point, kind of a little bit, Sarah, and things of like, and Colleen, around what we consume and how we consume things and what our relationship is to those things. And that's true for so many parts of our life, like not just reading. But I think there's something interesting about a little bit of this sense of kind of holy detachment. Like sometimes my need to finish a book was more about kind of my ego and my pride and like, can't give up. And like, I'm going to get through this, but it would totally stall out my reading flow. And then it also created sometimes a little unhealthy relationship with books, because then I wasn't as motivated to keep reading. I would get stuck with a book, the bookmark halfway through the book. Who's been there, right? Like the bookmark's halfway through the book and you're like, oh, I gotta finish this. And then it sits and you don't go back to it. And it's like, I have to finish, you know? So long story short, I hit a point where my two friends were like, but why? Do you have to finish it? Why do you have to finish it? If it's not giving you life, put it down and move on. You know, don't get stuck in the quagmire. Like if it's not doing something for you, don't drudge through it, you know, put it down and move on. And so since then I've been liberated a bit, and I am someone who will read half a book and say, you know what? I'm not into it. I'm not feeling it. My spirit's not vibing with this. I'm putting it down and moving on. Now, sometimes I go back, sometimes I don't, but I've liberated myself from that need to have to finish a book. So I've given you all now a couple minutes to think of your own answers and work through your emotional responses. And so where do you fall?
Now we know the motivation behind why you asked the question.
Is you are working out your own relationship to this. Yes.
Correct. Correct.
Oh, that's a complicated question. Mm-hmm. I mean, well, because like, again, ever since I was a little kid, I mean, like my books are my friends. I mean, I've always sort of had that relationship with books and wanting to finish them. So I don't know necessarily. I typically, if I start a book, I'm going to finish it. But I usually don't just read anything. I usually wait for like a good recommendation or an author that I really love. I think the only thing that would stop me reading a book is if it's not great writing. Mm-hmm. Like if I'm not connected with the way the writer describes things, I really love just engaging with someone who can use words to make something beautiful and come alive. So I think that's the only time that I usually stop a book is if I'm not connected with the way the author writes. But usually if I'm not connected to the story, usually my go-to is like, oh, it's not time. And I'll set it aside and usually I'll come back to it and I love the book. So it's usually about what's happening in myself versus like the book itself. But usually if it's good writing, I'm going to finish it. How about you, Colleen?
You know, it depends where the book comes from. I think it is. It's such a multi-layered question. I am choosy about what I read because it's, you know, I only have so much time. And so I want to be able to enjoy it. And so if I start something, like I just started, it's big right now, The Heaven and Earth Grocery Store by James
Hickman.
I got through the first like four chapters and I was like, it was one of those, like I saw it on some list somewhere and I thought I should read it on myself. Like everybody's talking about this book and like four chapters in, I was like, yeah, this is not doing it for me. And so I was like, I'm just going to put this aside. Like I got it from the library. So like no attachment there of like, I didn't spend money on this. Somebody didn't give it to me. We're just going to return it to the library and somebody else can enjoy it. But often if somebody has recommended it to me, I will try to push through to say like, what is it in this that this person loved? And then at the end, how did this feel? It feels like a discipline in some ways. But I think a piece of it also is like, how am I reading? Like, because oftentimes the books that will come to me that like, if I get stuck in the middle, like if it's a spirituality book or if it's, you know, a thicker book, like, am I just trying to push through it? Like, say, like, I want to enjoy what I'm reading. I want to digest what I'm reading. And so sometimes that's what it is like, I stop and put down the bookmark and say, like, I think I just need to reflect on where we've been and what I've gone through to get to this point and go pray about this. And maybe I'll come back to it. And maybe I won't. And maybe, you know, there are books on my bookshelf where there are bookmarks in them where I know where I stopped. And it's so interesting when you open them back up and go, oh, I know why that thing, that thought right there stopped me in my tracks. And even when I come back and read, I will leave that bookmark there and continue reading. Mm-hmm. But I think, Erin, you're right. It's getting over that sense of like duty or like I have to. I think that was for a long time, I was like a dutiful student. And so it was like, no, I need credit. I want credit for having read these books. I think it's another controversial question of like, is listening to a book the same as reading a book? Does it count? And but that's like, it's bound up in the value of like, oh, am I counting my worth by the number of books that I read? Or am I letting myself enjoy the reading that I'm doing or the stuff that I'm consuming? How am I doing it? And what am I getting from it? So I think I have evolved on that. Of like, I used to be I'm going to read this through and I'm going to, you know, blood, sweat, and tears. I will get through this book. And now it's more like, yeah, no, I don't have enough blood, sweat, and tears for this. It's not worth it. There's so much content out there, even like podcasts, you know, if people recommend a podcast and I listen to the first, you know, episode and think, nope, I don't like these people or I don't like this topic. I'm moving on. There are plenty of fish in the sea.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And by the way, audiobooks definitely count as reading.
Does it count? Yeah.
They definitely count and are actually beautiful because, like, again, storytelling is an oral tradition. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, and I think there's something beautiful in actually having it read to you or proclaimed to you. So just wanted to say, yes, audiobooks are definitely reading.
I second that. Ditto. And because I'm biased, but I'm also an audiobook person. And as I shared earlier, especially, I find an especially powerful platform for memoirs because, you know, hearing the person speak it in their own voice, in their own intonation, their own sometimes emotion permeating, it can be a spiritual experience, you know, it can really invite, as Jesus calls us, to love one another as I have loved you. Like, you know, it's a simple way, but it is a small way of growing in that sense of oneness. Again, I'm biased, but, you know, on an audio platform can be a small way to really do that, an opportunity to create a little more of that sense of connection with someone else's experience and story, which is very powerful in terms of our own ability to grow in our sense of interconnectedness with one another and understanding different perspectives, especially in a country right now where it feels like we are growing ever more polarized and ever more like villainizing. That's not a real word, but I'm using it anyway. You know, one another, you know, the person who's different than me, you know, creating these narratives of the other and the migrant, the trans person, like we're creating these narratives of, you know, really kind of excluding and villainizing one another. And so like the small way of pushing those boundaries in ourselves is using an audiobook for a memoir or reading a memoir or a podcast, like you're talking about The Moth, you know, all these ways, these are small steps towards helping myself internally, spiritually stretch in my perceptions of the world around me and the recognition that not everybody experiences the world like I do. So, you know, that's a small way that it can be powerful for that human connection piece.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think the story of our lives, the mm-hmm. lowercase s story plays into the much, you know, uppercase story that of our belief of the way in which we live our life and the story of creation, all of that. And so, like you said, Erin, I think a big amen of like the more stories that we take in, the more that we read, the more that we consume helps us to see the diversity of that story and to see kind of the diversity of, oh, God is working in all of these places, in fiction and nonfiction, in memoir, in audio, in writing, and what a gift that is.
Yeah.
So yeah. It's been a gift to be with you guys to talk about this, really. Yeah. I think I'm going to go reevaluate the books on my bedside table. And now my list has grown.
Yes, for sure. All of the things I'm going to read when the semester's over.
I love
yes.
it.
Maybe I'll have to get in on that book train. You know, I yeah. mean, Boston's a yeah. little bit further, but we'll get them sent out somehow.
There's always a nun that's going to be going all over the U.S.
The kindness of Sister So-and-so. Send that in the mail.
Exactly. We will definitely get you on our book train.
Mm-hmm. I love it. And Sarah, it has been wonderful having you on the other side of the podcast veil.
Yeah.
From production team over into, you know, sharing with us. And you've joined us before, so it's wonderful to have you back again. And this has been a fantastic conversation. As I said, I just love this. Love hearing about people's relationship to stories and books and podcasts. And I hope that our listeners have enjoyed this conversation as well, too. And so thank you for gathering and what a joy to yet again be together.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
You've been listening to Beyond the Habit. If you enjoyed listening to us today, be sure to share this episode with a friend or subscribe so that you never miss an episode. We appreciate any kind reviews you'd like to leave us on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your episodes. Also, be sure to follow us on social media. We're on Facebook and Instagram, or send us an email at beyondthehabitpod@gmail.com.
Thank you to our guest, Sister Sarah Simmons, for being in conversation with us today. Thank you also to all those who have made this podcast possible, especially our sisters from the Congregation of St. Joseph and the Sisters of St. Joseph of Philadelphia. Our sound editor, Angie Hayes, our music composer, Matthew Dolan, our producer, Elizabeth Powers, and our podcast coordinator, Sister Sarah Simmons.
We look forward to sharing more with you next time.
Read a good book.
See you at the library. the stories that we tell, what do they tell us about ourselves?